J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Leach. Have you had a busy day?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Starshine.
Look at me, every morning, wide awake, 11 o'clock.
I'm awake.
How about you?
I'm awake, but I can't get my eyes open.
In the morning.
Rise and shine, up and at 'em.
When I wake up early in the morning, lift my head, I'm still yawning.
Good morning, starshine.
One fine morning, girl, I'll wake up.
Beautiful morning.
I gotta get up every morning just to say goodnight to you.
Cause I'm leaving when I see that morning sky.
Good morning, you sure look fine.
The morning sun has come.
Wake up, sunshine.
Wake me up.
Get up, baby, get up, get up, get up.
One morning, I woke up.
Sandman working overtime last night?
I woke up this morning and the sun was gone.
When does the sun come up around here?
It's a wonderful day.
Cause he gets up in the morning.
I get up in the morning and it's just another day.
I try to get up every morning and watch television all day.
Every morning.
Wake up time.
When you wake up in the morning and the light has hurt your head.
It's almost 9 o'clock. We've got to go to work.
Wake up time.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, April 6th, 2022, 225 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. Hello, it's JC here at jconline.com. Maybe it isn't morning for you. I just played that whole morning thing. It's when you do a podcast, you have to remember somebody might be listening to this thing at 2 o'clock in the morning or at 7 o'clock at night or at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So all of the traditional things that you have been trained to do with regard to morning radio, you know, a lot of them just go right out the window. But every once in a while, it slips in. Hi, anyhow, let's get this thing rolling. It's a good thing we're not going to try to play baseball on Friday because it is going to be an absolutely miserable day. As it turns out, tomorrow for the home opener, cloudy skies, very breezy, 20 to 30 mile an hour winds, sprinkles moving in right about game time and throughout the course of the game, but it shouldn't be anything to wash out the game, not anything close, just a couple of sprinkles. So there will be baseball at Busch Stadium tomorrow afternoon. Like I said, on Friday could be really bad. I've seen some forecasts that include snow flakes, snow flurries tomorrow night late. Try not to think about that. I've been to some cold openers. I've been to a couple of games where it was in the upper 30s. I think it was the first game that Adam Wainwright came back for opening day after his Tommy John surgery. And everybody was very concerned about it because it's like when it's cold out, your body doesn't loosen up as well. You know, if you've ever done anything athletically in cold weather, it's really, really hard to get loose. And when you're coming off dramatic surgery like that, it becomes a concern, but everybody survived. Everything was fine. I was going through some old stuff getting ready for the show tomorrow, the big home opener extravaganza here at jcontheline.com, and I always try to put new stuff in. I've got one piece I think you're really, really going to like. It's a pre-recorded piece with, do it in no particular order. Mike Shannon, Red Shane Dienst, John Mozeliak, Tony La Russa, Walt Jocketty, and Al Roboski, all in one piece. And you're going to really, really like this. But I was going through some old stuff, and I found the very first interview we did with Adam Wainwright. I should have checked the year. I forgot what his rookie year was, but I can look that up. But anyhow, the Cardinals had brought him. This was before his rookie year. The Cardinals had brought him in to spring training camp, which was a really, really smart thing to do because they knew that he was a budding superstar. I don't know anybody that necessarily knew he was going to be a Cy Young Award winner, but they knew that this guy was special. So what they did is they brought him in to Jupiter for spring training, just let him sort of hang around a little bit. I mean, he's in full uniform and everything, but, you know, he did some drills and he threw some batting practice and stuff like that. But they knew that he was going to go back to Triple A after that, but they wanted him to get his feet wet and just give him the experience of having been in the Cardinal clubhouse, be around the guys that he would later end up joining. I think they brought him in late season, and then officially his rookie year was the next year. But John and I interviewed him, and it couldn't have been more obvious that the Cardinal organization was really, really treating Adam Wainwright with kid gloves back then. It's great to get those jitters out of your system. And now, of course, you look in the dugout or out in the bullpen, and there ain't anybody any more loose than Adam Wainwright. God, he's in there practically doing stand-up comedy in the dugout every day. Anyhow, our home opener extravaganza is tomorrow. I have no idea how long it's going to go. It could be an hour. It could be longer. It could be a couple of minutes shorter. I don't know. But a special edition tomorrow. For us, tomorrow will be opening day, but in Buffalo, New York, back in 1983, when I was living there and working at a radio station, 97 Rock, it was my first experience with something called Dingus Day, D-Y-N-G-U-S, Dingus Day. I remember having many conversations with Joe Bonwich, a wonderful guy. He was the food critic for the Riverfront Times and then later for the Post-Dispatch. And Joe was one of my favorite people in St. Louis. He had the greatest gig in the world. He would go into restaurants, usually new places, and he would just eat a meal and take notes. And then the review would end up in the paper a couple of days later. But nobody ever knew who he was because he never allowed himself to be photographed. You know, normally when you look in the paper for the featured columnists, like in the old days with Bernie Miklas or, you know, Bill McClellan or something like that, Jerry Berger, there's always a little picture next to the column in the paper. But there was never any picture of Joe because he wanted that anonymity, because he knew if he went into a restaurant and people knew who he was and what he was doing, he would get preferential treatment or special treatment or something that would not necessarily be reflective of what it would be like if you just went in there. And that's what he wanted. He wanted an honest experience. So nobody ever knew it was him. And Joe just knew everything there was to know about food and about wine and just like the food industry too, about how things ended up in restaurants. He could spot trends really well. He would watch what was happening in New York and LA, because 6 months later it would end up in St. Louis and it would end up directly affecting you. Joe had five daughters with his lovely bride and spent a good chunk of his life raising those girls, one of which ended up being I don't know if you'd call her a supermodel, but she is a big, big, big time model on the cover of a couple of national and international magazines. I think she was on the cover of Vogue one year. So that was one of the five daughters. So he spent a sizable chunk of his life raising those girls. And when the last one was married and moved out of the house, and he and his lovely wife were empty nesters, they took their first vacation in something like 23 years. And Joe and his wife were sitting in the airport after the trip. I think they had a connecting flight. I believe it was in Atlanta. And Joe had a heart attack and died right in the airport. At least he got the vacation in. But I miss that guy every day, Joe Bonwich. But being of Polish descent, he knew all about this thing. Like I said, my first encounter was in Buffalo, New York in 1983 with Dingus Day. D-Y-N-G-U-S. Dingus Day. And I remember... I remember being in Buffalo, New York, and trying to describe this to my mother and father, going, all right, so here's what they do. There's these huge parties, and what you do is all of the women have little pails of water, and all of the guys have big, long branches of pussy willows. And at these parties, people would go around, you'd see a girl, and you'd whack her with a pussy willow, and then she would throw water on you. You think I'm making this up? I'm not. My mother thought I was doing heroin or something when I was explaining this to her. But yeah, that was my first experience with it. So I guess it's either today or one of these days coming up. But like I said, I have that on my calendar from 1983. That'll make you wonder about your life and career choices. How did I end up in Buffalo during Dingus Day? Oh, man. Oh, man. So Tiger says he's going to play in the Masters, and he says as far as golf is concerned, everything's fine. He thinks he can win. The big question is, can he walk? And that is the problem. Whenever you have a weight-bearing injury, and I've had several, I had to have ankle surgery about, I don't know, 30 years ago. I have real bad arthritis in my left hip, taking medication for that. Thank God they've got something that can take the edge off that. I've had three back surgeries and had a real bad case for 2 years of plantar fasciitis. So let me just tell you something. I know what the man's talking about. Here he is right now, as a matter of fact.
And now that I am playing, now everything is focused on how do I get myself into a position where I'm on that back nine on Sunday with a chance, just like I did, you know, a few years ago.
Again, oh, here's another
one. A lot of stuff that I had to deal with, and you know, I don't wish on anyone, but you know, here we are.
There you go. Well, if you've never had a weight-bearing injury, you don't know how awful it can be. It really, really... The thing about it is, you can be fine 1 minute doing one thing, and then you try something else, and you have to go sit down somewhere because the pain is so bad. You know exactly what he's talking about when he says, I can play... You know, people go, how can you play golf but you can't walk? Well, trust me, that's exactly... what can happen when you're in a situation like this. And I'm living proof of it. And, you know, the course is about 4 miles long. So in other words, you play that course in Augusta, you are walking 4 miles. Can you imagine what the TV ratings are going to look like for the Masters this year? Good grief. All right, as we always say, we only do politics here on the podcast when it is absolutely unavoidable, and it is today. Most of it revolves around the January 6th committee, which is going to rule today whether or not that douchebag Peter Navarro, this guy, I speak to my Republican friends when I say, you don't want Peter Navarro in your under your tent. You don't want this guy. Get rid of him. Anyhow, the January 6th committee is supposed to rule today as to whether or not they're going to hold him in contempt. We have these laws, we have these rules that everybody has been following up until the last couple of years. And now, you know, one of these guys breaks the law, clearly violates these policies, these laws that we have in this country for reasons that should be obvious. And people go, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to show up. But today would be the beginning and the end of that thinking. Ivanka testified yesterday for 8 hours. Jeez. I've been in depositions and court proceedings and things like that where you're in for, you know, a couple of hours. I'm talking 2 or 3, and you're exhausted after that. I had a 6-day trial in that Stephen D.C. lawsuit that I filed. 6 days. You can go in there at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. You come out 5 in the afternoon. Do that for 6 days and tell me how you like it. And in my case, I was on the good side that won. I like to be on the bad side where they're asking questions where they are clearly deciding your fate and perhaps your freedom. Have you broken laws? Have you done things that violated policy of the United States government that could land you in jail? Imagine how exhausting that is. So we'll see what the fallout is from that. It turns out Ginny Thomas, and again, these things that I discuss when we do talk politics, these things that I discuss are not my opinions. These are just, this is news, this is fact. Ginny Thomas, It turns out the wife of Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, was in a cult back in the 1980s, something called LifeSpring. And I remember hearing about this way back when. It was supposed to be, you know, you join this LifeSpring outfit and they, obviously, they took a little money from you first. Then they told you that they had some system of living and changing the way you live and it's going to improve your life, but you got to belong to the group. I use the term loosely. It was a cult. You think that maybe that's why now, as an adult, because this was all the way back in the 80s, now as an adult, she was a young woman, her 20s probably, now I think that might be the reason for her propensity to follow things like QAnon and all this other nonsense that's floating around out there. Zelensky over there in Ukraine made a speech in front of the NATO people, and he really summed it up. I mean, this guy does not mince words, and for reasons that should be obvious, by the way, as he's watching his country be destroyed, you know, one little village after another. And he basically said to NATO, look, you guys do something, or do you might as well dissolve the organization? Because if NATO was designed to band all of these European countries together, and if you attack one, you're attacking all of us. That's the way they think, and that's the reason that NATO was established in the first place. Now you're watching what's happening in Ukraine, and I can understand his feeling. It's like, look, if you're not going to do something, you are presented with proof like this that war crimes are being committed every day, then what are you here for? You might as well just break the whole thing up. You know, and I agree with him. And more people are saying, look, this is what Putin is doing. He's trying to take at least part of Ukraine. And then every couple of years, he'll try to move a little further and further west. But you either deal with this now or you deal with it later. I say deal with it now. And I'm not advocating the start of World War III, but you can't just let this guy do this. Somebody somewhere is going to have some sort of plan stuffed away somewhere. You've known for years that this guy is what he is and capable of what he has been doing. Trying to tell me nobody in all of the international system network of governments that nobody thought to themselves, you know, someday Putin's going to do this, and when he does, we're going to have to do this. Nobody thought of it. Nobody has any idea what to do. I just find that hard to believe. Okay, I'm done with all of that. Jon Batiste made his return to New York City last night on Colbert and says that his music sales are up 3,000%. A lot of people who watch Colbert, because even a lot of people who watch Colbert every night didn't really know too much about Jon Batiste as a musician outside of what he does on the show, going in and out of the commercials. And you got people who don't even watch TV or don't watch Colbert. Maybe they're Kimmel fans or Fallon or something like that, so they don't even know who he is. And now they're like, wait a minute, this guy's got 5 Grammys. Maybe I should check this guy out. Well, when you check him out, you're going to be very, very pleasantly surprised. This guy's music is fabulous. You know, one of the things, I remember talking about this about a year ago, and that is that he put out a music video for one of the songs on that album that won, and I remember going, that is one of the best videos I've ever seen. And sure enough, it won for best music video in addition to winning best album. So, a lot of brand new Jon Batiste fans out there. Check it out, though, because it's really, really great stuff. As you know, I go out of my way to avoid stories about the Kardashians, but I got to do this one today for reasons that will become clear here. So you read, I guess it was yesterday, that Kourtney Kardashian and her boyfriend Travis Barker went to one of those Vegas wedding chapels after the Grammys on Sunday and got hitched, and they got a lot of publicity for all of that, but it turns out they're not even legally married because they never got a marriage license. So they were just like pretending that they got married, and everybody else all over the world, and their millions and millions of Twitter and Facebook followers and stuff like that get sucked in to the entire thing. And now on top of that, what the hell is ABC thinking? The Kardashians, a Robin Roberts special tonight at 7 on ABC. Who the hell asked for more than Robin Roberts? You know, I might be the only person alive, apparently, who does not like her. I can't stand her. I still remember when, what was it, like 20 years ago, when we had that first flash of women's soccer. I'm talking literally like 20 years ago, and everybody suddenly became a soccer fan, a woman's soccer fan, and they had like a celebrity red carpet showing up at this game. Still remember, it was at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. And it might have been the game where Brandi Chastain pulled off her shirt and had the sports bra underneath. And you had Mia Hamm. And those are the, I think this was before Megan Rapinoe. I can't remember any of the other names. But suddenly everybody wanted to be in that stadium for that soccer game. So they stick Robin Roberts out there to basically do this, you know, arrival on the red carpet at this soccer game. And I remember Carlos Santana shows up for whatever reason. He had his daughters with him. I think that was the reason that he was there, bringing them along, being a good dad. And she says, and look, it's Santana. I'm like, Santana is the band. His name is Carlos. And for the whole interview, she referred to him as Santana. And I'm like, you idiot. And I know she got real sick and everything like that. And I, you know, nobody wants to see that. I don't watch Good Morning America. I love George Stephanopoulos, but I cannot stand her. But if you're different than me and you love Robin Roberts and you love the Kardashians, well, you just knock yourself out tonight. Johnny Depp's defamation lawsuit against his ex-wife Amber Heard starts on Monday. And I didn't know this. It's going to be on television. It's going to be on Court TV, and they say there's going to probably be celebrity guests taking the stand, like James Franco and Elon Musk. Elon Musk, by the way, ready to bring changes to Twitter after joining its board of directors. He bought 9.2% of the company. He teased that he's going to bring the highly coveted edit button to the platform. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Eddie Redmayne and Patricia Arquette. Jimmy Kimmel, Rob Gronkowski, who, by the way, is not officially decided if he's going to come back and play another year with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And there's the Kardashians again. I'm with Kimmel. You can run, but you can't hide. Stephen Colbert's got Anderson Cooper. He's still over in Ukraine. James Corden has Nicki Minaj, Mark Wahlberg, and Judy Greer. And Seth Meyers has Sienna Miller. Oh, daddy likes. And Jerrod Carmichael, who just came off of hosting Saturday Night Live. You may remember a brief appearance of Bobby Rydell in the movie Grease. He died yesterday. He was 79, big teen idol from the 1960s. People are actually getting tattoos of the Will Smith, Chris Rock, Oscar slap. Okay. Turns out almost half of Netflix subscribers share their passwords with somebody outside their house. Big surprise there. I want to talk a little bit about this Albert Pujols thing. I was against the idea of bringing him back. When you don't sign any free agents in the off season, the message to your fans basically is, yeah, Milwaukee's going to win the division. We'll play as well as we can and try to get a wild card. Because that's really what the Cardinals are doing. What do you do? What do you do? You lean on nostalgia and you bring back Albert Pujols because you're going to sell a gazillion tickets, especially towards the end of the season. Can you imagine that? I'm sure the game is probably already sold out already when you're going to watch Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, and Adam Wainwright walk off the field together and for the very last time. And I like Albert as a player. He gave us tons and tons of thrills. He left us. Normally, when people leave us for more money, St. Louis crowd turns against you. But for some reason, Albert's getting a free pass here, and I do not understand it. It's not like I prefer to see ugliness. I'm just saying that I don't understand why he's getting a free pass. All that bullshit about it's not about the money. It clearly was about the money. Anyhow, even after having said all that, I'm a little curious as to why Albert's being vilified here. Okay, so his wife was, soon to be ex-wife, was having brain surgery while he was down in Jupiter, Florida. Well, if you look at the story, they actually broke up about a month or so ago. We just found out about it now. You know why? Because all of the insiders... And again, I beat this to death yesterday about the insider thing. You know, every TV station, newspaper, television station has one sports guy they say is an insider. He knows everything. You're going to find out about things first here because we've got the insider. And then, of course, something like Albert Pujols and Didi Pujols splitting up occurs. And everybody gets the story at exactly the same time. Give me a break. But anyhow, again, after having said all that, I'm not really sure why Albert's being vilified. Okay, he was married for 22 years. They had five kids. knows? You know, maybe Dee Dee turned into a witch. I don't know. Divorces happen, okay? They happen a lot. And people grow apart. And you see this all the time. If I produced a list for you of all of the professional athletes who got divorced, especially right about the time they were retiring, you'd be astonished. Ozzy and Denise, going back years. And you have notable exceptions. You have notable exceptions. Andy Van Slyke, still married to Lori. But the last time I saw her, she still looked absolutely great, by the way. And there's some others. This is not an uncommon thing for players right about the time they are retiring for the marriages to break up. I'm sure there's been 100 books written about that. You know, and you don't have to be a genius to figure out why. You know, guy's on the road all the time. Suddenly he's home all the time. Guy had purpose in his life. Done nothing but played baseball from the time he was probably 5 or 6 years old. And now all of a sudden he's in his late 30s, 40 years old, somewhere in there. And he's sitting around the house. He's got nothing to do. People realize that over the course of his professional sports career, they've actually probably drifted apart quite a bit, and shit happens, okay? So until or unless we get information that indicates that Albert did something terrible, that was the cause of the need for a divorce, I think everybody needs to back off of this a little bit. We didn't even know they were breaking up, so how can you claim to know anything about the cause of the divorce? If there even was one. Like I said, sometimes people just grow apart. By the way, as I'm putting the podcast together here today, you might notice that my microphone seems to be clipping certain words. I'll look at this after the podcast today and reboot everything. It'll probably be gone by tomorrow. I'm just hearing this now, so I apologize if it's annoying you. All right, birthdays today. He is Ant-Man. Paul Rudd, 53. A lot of people don't know that Paul Rudd and Joe Buck are actually very close friends. Marilu Henner, one of the more obnoxious people I've had the pleasure of being in the company of. Elaine Nardo on Taxi is 70 today. John Ratzenberger, who's like in every Pixar movie. He's the Lucky Charm. Toy Story movies, Bug's Life, Abominable Snowman, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., he was in Ratatouille also, The Good Dinosaur, oh my gosh, Finding Dory, Onward, he was also Major Durlin in The Empire Strikes Back. John Ratzenberger appears to be the Lucky Charm for Pixar, 75 today. Hostess Twinkies were invented on this date in 1930, 92 years ago. There is a legend that the things are indestructible and that you can put them on the shelf at a 7-Eleven, and 2 years later, they're still, quote-unquote, intact. That is urban legend. Twinkies have a shelf life of about 25 days. 87 years ago today, this guy by the name of Harold Bunny Leavitt, 1935, they put him on the free throw line, and he makes 499 consecutive free throws, missed on number 500. And we had the first DH in Major League Baseball on this date, 1973, Ron Bloomberg of the Yankees. And everybody's already done this story, so I'm not going to do it again, but it was the story of the guy on the Southwest flight from Seattle to Phoenix who was arrested for jerking his gherkin in front of a woman 4 times during the flight. Talk about being in the fully upright and locked position. And with that, we say that is the J.C. Corcoran podcast for today, Wednesday, April 6th, 2022, 225 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived right here. We publish at about 7 a.m. every Monday through Friday. And you can email me at jc@jconline.com, Facebook, the Showgram. With J.C. Corcoran tomorrow, our big home opener extravaganza. Don't miss it. Spread the word. Let everybody know we got a baseball tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.